Four straight wins. AJ, I feel like a while back you said you wanted to come on for Tarek Skubal starts before or after. It's always good when Skubal's on the bump. Good morning.
Yeah, no, happy to come on with Tarek Skubal starts. That's a good day. Hopefully it works out the way we want.
I know you can never, you know, pencil one in, or maybe pencil it in, but you can't put it in ink. How confident are you, and how excited are you every time that Skubal does take the mound?
Yeah. Well, I think very confident, but obviously very much understanding 5 days ago we lost an extra inning game started by Skubal. So this league, you can't get too ahead of yourself, but it's nice to put yourself in that position. And I do like the vibe of our team. Like our entire team is showing up today. We all know Tarek's pitching. We all know that we have a chance to sweep. We all know it's important baseball in September. And so that vibe in the day of the game is obviously kind of a little bit extra special.
Yeah, we're definitely buzzing with this baseball team right now. As you look at the standings, I mean, only three games back of a playoff spot. As it gets closer and closer, as the margin, you know, shrinks here, I'm sure you're trying to find ways to give yourself the best chance to win. Was there any consideration to getting Skubal back on typical rest, that every fifth day, to maybe get him in against a Baltimore or squeeze out an extra start?
No. I mean, I think right now we're staying with our plan because our pitching has been incredible. And part of that, I think, is the strategy to give guys the appropriate rest and their routines. And we know exactly how we're trying to do it. We have an extra pitcher in September with the rosters expanding. And obviously, we'll see how start by start goes. I think when I start thinking that way, like, obviously we have, you know, plans and things that we're looking ahead as coaches, but I really try to keep that away from the players because it all that matters is today, which is the things you've heard from me time after time and coming on the show is like, just worry about the Rockies. Don't worry about extra rest. Don't worry about starts down the road or the last homestand or what potential is, because the one thing we can control is today. And I kind of apologize to your listeners, because I know it's boring, but it's how a young team has to develop at this level with these important games. So we'll handle Tarek accordingly. And, you know, opponent is not something that we're going to necessarily, you know, change for, but I think kind of making sure he's at his best the days that he pitches is important.
And the group effort days, when you sell at the deadline and you lose a pitcher like Jack Flaherty, and now you're forced with, before Casey Mize came back, 3 days of trying to figure out who's going to start, who's going to be in the middle, who's going to finish the game. Maybe it is simply the rest, but how do you explain the success that you guys have had of putting in a lot of guys that nobody even has really heard or knows much about?
Yeah, so I think we're coming at it from a couple different ways. I mean, one, just because you guys don't know doesn't mean our players don't know or we don't know, right? So we have a plan every day. Like, we're not just randomizing. I mean, we prepare the guys to pitch the days they're going to pitch. And obviously we try to put them in a position to be successful, and they've got to use their pitches. I think just clearing their mind of not having to worry about anything but the competition has been good. The execution has been good. We haven't overexposed any of the guys that are breaking into the league. If anything, I'm becoming more of a believer in how to break in young pitching. And it might be random. Some guys are going to need openers. Some guys aren't. Some guys are, you know, handle the third time through. Some guys don't, you know. But I've watched Cater Montero, as an example, start all but one of his games and just slowly get better at getting the third time through. I've also watched, you know, Herter really be good out of this bulk role. Ty Madden be able to adjust his routine to be able to bring his best stuff. In Oakland, he was tremendous. So I think part of the reason is just the preparation of getting guys ready and the players responding and doing what they can. Like, a lot of these young guys, like, this is the optimal time to try things with these guys because they're willing to do anything. Like, they're young, yeah. Mm-hmm. They are eager, they are happy to be here, and they're doing their part playing, you know, winning baseball for a while now. This is not like a 4-game win streak. This is a couple months of guys posting pretty good, consistent efforts, you know, time after time. And so, again, it's not always perfect. We're not always going to necessarily enjoy, you know, this type of success, but I like where we're at right now, and I like the fact that our guys are willing to do anything.
Talking to Tiger manager AJ Hinch, and you've already talked about mindset a little bit and the psychology of it. And I get what you were saying about apologizing to listeners, because we get a sense of urgency in this situation. But could you maybe explain how important it is to not put pressure on this team? It's almost like you guys are playing loose, despite the fact that we're all going, come on, what if Job was here? What if Scooble was throwing on typical? What if you did this? What if you... The mindset of you trying to manage the personalities in that clubhouse.
Yeah. No, we'll definitely let you guys be the anxious ones. I mean, we have to stay in the moment here. And I think, you know, I think part of it is the regimen of the day. Like, we play every day. Like, we don't have, you know, in the NFL, I know the Lions just started. Like, we don't have 6 days to talk about the last game or the next game. Like, we have, like, I mean, we just finished at 11 o'clock last night. So, we're playing again today. So I think the reset button is really important. And I think if you really like kind of intellectually think about just pressure and what it does every day, it's one thing to just face the guy, you know, on the mound throwing 98 miles an hour, or if you're Ty Madden and you're looking down at some pretty impressive hitters across the league, that's enough pressure. If all of a sudden you've got, you know, more burdens on you day to day, it's not going to help you be better. Like, everybody knows the sense of urgency is there. I said this the other day. We're well aware of what the stakes are, how important these games are, the smaller margin for error, given where we're at with limited number of games. Like, we're not naive to it. We just choose to, like put that, compartmentalize that over here, focus on what we can handle, and our players are doing a really good job of buying into worrying about what we can control, where we're at, and what we're doing. And, you know, that's the only way I know how to get young players to break through. I've seen it before in my other stops that you don't need more pressure. You need less pressure. You don't need heavier breathing. You need calmer breathing. You don't need, you know, more issues than Juan Soto across the way. At the Little League Classic, we're facing Soto and Judge, and that was a really big breakthrough for us, being able to win a series against the Yankees. If you're carrying more weight than you need, it's not a recipe for success.
Just one more thing about the pitching staff, and I don't know if you have or how much say you would have in this. We did see Jackson Job was bumped up to AAA. Is the door open? We might see him for one or two starts this year, or is that door closed?
I don't think it's open. I don't know that it's closed. I don't think that's even been something we're talking about. I mean, he's a young kid who's establishing himself.
Yeah,
trying to establish those routines we're talking about. So I don't see him. Factoring in, that's never even been really broached. I know you guys keep asking me about Jackson, but we need him to be in the strike zone and continue the steps forward. But no, and I think this is just the next step of his development, not necessarily a plan to surprise you.
Yeah, and I think we're getting to the point where these are exciting conversations we haven't had the opportunity to have late in the season in September. Just looking for extra ways to improve the team. Reese Olson, any update on his potential return?
Yeah, Reese is going to throw a bullpen today. And hopefully, if all goes well, we can make a decision in the next 24 hours on what his next step is. The big question for him is endurance and the readiness to face, you know, whether it's Baltimore or Kansas City. I mean, those are two really good teams in a limited capacity. He's not built up all the way to be a starter. And so we don't have the 80, 90, 100 pitches to choose from, but we may choose to use those three or four innings where he's at in his progression at either level. If we're going to build it in AAA, then we obviously push it back 5 days. If we're going to bring him back, then it's more in a limited capacity. That's the decision point. His bullpen and how he feels is always going to govern a lot of that. I do like where he was at. I know he had to pitch a 12 o'clock game the other day, which is not always fun for on rehab, but he's taking steps. It's just, where do you use those pitches? Do you use them here, or do you continue to build them in AAA?
How important has been, I mean, the obvious is anytime somebody comes up and plays good, it helps. But in terms of, for you, we asked you this question earlier in the season because there never seemed to be a consistent lineup. Who's one, who's four, who's three? Now that Parker Meadows has come up and been much better coming up from AAA, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter being back, how much easier has it been for you to put it together a lineup on a game-in, game-out basis?
So game by game, it's always going to be trying to attack the opponent. It's not trying to be overly creative, or it's not trying to, trying to be cute with the lineup. I know I get questions a lot about having the regimen everyday lineup. And I understand like people's ease with that. Like they like the view of that, or it makes them feel better. I think we're trying to just beat the opponent and what they have aligned in their pen. As an example, the Rockies have one left-handed pitcher in their bullpen. He threw an inning plus last night. We don't have the same plan against this bullpen that we're going to against Baltimore, who have four left-handed relievers and can try to break up the Riley Green, Parker Meadows, Gary Carpenter combo, which is why you see Matt Vierling in the middle. So not every play call is the same in football. Not every lineup should be the same in baseball. And so it's been fun to write the same names and try to figure out where the decision points are going to be during the game. Like today, you're going to see Gary Carpenter hit second and Riley Green hit third. Sometimes Riley Green hits second and Gary Carpenter hits fourth. Matt Vierling's not playing today. So there's a lot that goes into building the lineup and the decision points that happen during the game. And today we want to load the lineup against lefties, against Feltner. He's a sinker ball guy who tends to get righties out better than lefties, and tomorrow may be different.
AJ, wanted to get your thoughts on Trey Sweeney. He was, obviously part of that Flaherty deal, and people focused on the prospect that's lower in the system, but Sweeney's come up and he's hit really well lately. We look at this season and say, how many of these guys are anchor pieces? Just how do you view him? Obviously, you got to round out this season, but do you view him as a guy who can be a long-term starter at the shortstop position?
Yeah, Trey's a good player, and you're right. A lot of attention went to Lorenzo, and rightfully so. He's a terrific prospect. I don't think he got nearly as much love as he should. He crushes in West Michigan. He should take the next step in the fall league and to the mid-minors next year and see where that takes him. Sweeney was not just a throw-in. He was a target guy. We like the defense, the left-handed bat, the calmness, the power. All of that's shown up. So like we traded for him. We had a pretty good idea that he was going to debut at some point, and I think he's been as good or better than advertised, just given the consistency and how he goes about it. There's areas for him to grow, control in the strike zone, and obviously getting to the backside a little bit better. He's actually got a nice swing to the opposite field, but the bat-to-ball skill is pretty good, the hand strength pretty good, the consistency at shortstop, like those are all ingredients that you like out of your players. So he's developing into a nice big player. I do think he's certainly part of what we're doing moving forward, and he's showing a pretty good calmness at playing new organization, new level, important games in September, and he's responding favorably. So a lot to like with Trey.
I've always loved the personal side of how you treat each individual player and how you talk to them, and you've shared some of those conversations with us. What's the emotion like for you now that you've seen a Parker Meadows struggle, come back up, and be successful? Spencer Torkelson, same thing. Cary Carpenter with the injury. And now a young team with so many young players that have struggled at times throughout the season to have this success right now. Whether it's a playoff run or not, how can you describe those feelings that you're having for this team?
No, I'm very proud of this team and of the players individually. You know, they're all going through something a little bit different, whether it's guys coming back from injury or Parker coming back from the minors, Torque, coming back and just being one of nine hitters, Riley Green dealing with a ton of attention, Tarrant getting national attention because he's earned it, and hopefully we'll get some hardware out of it. There's a lot of really good things going, and I know I've talked on this show before how I feel like the progress was going better than even some people talked about. And so when you see it, happening and you see guys playing with ease and being under control of their bats and believing that we can win today's game, like a lot of it's coming together collectively. And that's pretty awesome for the work that's being done. I think specifically to Parker is a good example. I try to drop names on this show all the time because it's a lot of people that are involved in development of players. And so it is Ryan Garko setting a standard in the minor leagues, and we send Parker down, and Mike Hessman has the day-to-day responsibilities with them, and Michael Bedar here, in interacting with the AAA staff, and George Lombard, who's turning a great outfielder into an even greater outfielder. Like there's just people are these touch points are really important. And so when you see growth in the big league, it doesn't happen by accident. And I'm proud of the organization for, you know, individual stories like Parker, or collectively believing in young talent that's learning how to win at this level and seeing some good results and trending in the right direction to make things interesting in these final couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's been eye-opening. It's been exciting. When we check in with you in another 2 weeks, you guys will be in the final couple of days of the regular season. Hope we got some really fun things to talk about then. AJ, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
All right, AJ Hinch, Tiger Manager. It's 97.1.
When I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and prices, but I think the biggest difference is their customer service. I love, talking on the phone. They're very, courteous. They understand the stress that you may be going through right now when, in the summer, AC's not working or your power is out, because they also provide generators and hookups. So call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, electrical, and even those generators I talked about. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast installation and same day service. If you want to get more info and you want to contact them, you can find them at mastercraftheating.com.
It's a Thursday. At 9:02, we have Dear John. John, I always give you a little bit of a teaser.
Oh, yeah. What do we got?
One of the topics is Lions tickets.
Okay.
Another one says, spotting a girl at the gym while my girlfriend was there.
Uh-oh. Got to wear your sunglasses.
Some hot water. and
can't tell where you're looking.
And wife gone clubbing.
Oh.
Wife gone clubbing.
So some advice. People want your answers. Dear John, 9:02. Let's get to Heather in the news.
Well, Detroit Police Chief James White is considering leaving his post as the city's top cop. And he confirmed Wednesday that he has applied for CEO of Detroit Wayne Integrated Health Network. He is one of 8 candidates that's been narrowed down from over 60 applicants. And in a statement, he said that he is looking forward to, the competitive process and wants to respect the process by not saying anything further at this time. So he's not really talking about it, but he did note that the new role, if he gets it, is extremely important at this critical time for Detroit and Wayne counties as they continue to have a mental health crisis in the community, and it needs to be addressed at multiple levels. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we'd hate to lose him. Mm-hmm. I don't know the day-to-day operations or all I know is the major events that have been down there, like the draft, all the sporting events. And it's as great as it's ever been down there.
Let's talk Shannon Sharpe. He is coming clean about the sultry Instagram live post that he shared to his millions of followers on Wednesday. Initially, he said that he was hacked. His account had been hacked after he shared a sex video with everybody who joined the live viewing. It wasn't a video per se.
It was more of the audio.
Yes, because you couldn't see him or the woman he was with, but you could hear them. I think the phone started staring at the ceiling and then eventually you didn't see anything. You didn't see any humans, but you could hear what was going on. He claimed that he honestly had no idea how to use technology, didn't know anything about Instagram Live, had never used it, didn't know how to even start the live video. But he has kind of, I don't know if I'd say apologized. I guess you could say apologized, but he said that he was embarrassed and he was disappointed with himself for sharing that audio.
Yeah.
And he should apologize to the female involved as well. I'm sure. Yeah.
She probably didn't want that out there either.
I would imagine she didn't.
And by the way, the initial I was hacked. No, that's become kind of the go-to.
Yeah.
Well,
at least he owned up to it.
He did. He talks a little bit about it. Here's what he said afterward. Yep.
There you have it.
So he wasn't the only person that was caught in a sexual encounter recently. Oh. There's a couple in Farmington Hills that were caught on camera getting it on in a random person's driveway.
Oh, they just pulled in and said, I'm stopping here. Can't wait any longer.
Yes. So there was a 13-year-old. He was in school at the time, but he was waiting for a package to be delivered, and he got a notification on his phone. Oh, Ring doorbell is going off, right?
Oh, no.
So here's this young teen on his phone thinking, oh, great, whatever he just ordered is being delivered. He checks
out
the camera.
Not the package he was hoping for.
Not at all. I saw the whole thing go down on the driveway, and the mom is now furious. She says this couple parked their rental car right in their driveway, got themselves perfectly in frame for their Ring doorbell, were also using their phones to film themselves as well, and now she wants them caught. Farmington Hills police have been notified. They're taking this very seriously. They say chances are this couple is going to do it again. So they're on the lookout for this.
Well, chances are they'll do it again, but in somebody's driveway?
Well, it sounds like this is kind of maybe what they...
It's like their thing.
It excites them.
Because in the video, apparently somebody else also pulled up, like unrelated to this couple, and they just stood there, like talking for like a minute, completely undressed. Like they were not like trying to hide themselves in any way. So I think that this is something that they enjoy doing. So most likely... Yes, exactly. A woman and her nephew are facing charges after they convinced some movers to return back to her Oakland County home so that they could rob them at gunpoint. Happened on August 31st. Two delivery drivers had just dropped off some furniture at this home in Farmington Hills. But afterward, the homeowner called the company and was complaining that the furniture wasn't put together properly. And she asked for the delivery drivers to come back to her home. So they did. They came back. And when they walked inside her house, she grabbed a gun and accused them of stealing her weed.
Oh.
Yeah, so they held them at gunpoint and they robbed them of their paychecks, which was about like $1,700. Then they let them go. And these guys went immediately to the police. And the police went immediately to the home. They found a gun. They found the money. They found everything. The woman admitted to it. And they've both been charged with armed robbery and two counts of unlawful imprisonment. What are you thinking? Dumb criminals.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the Thursday touchdown. 7 football questions. Dear John at 902. We'll talk about Sharon Moore's contract as well coming up. It's 97.1. Jumped on him early, won the game. Keep winning games. That's Dan Dickerson's call. Few tick attacks on the Tigers. Couple football questions we didn't get to, and then Dear John at 902. John, Ticket Texter says, to make the playoffs today is 100% a must win. There's still 3 out. It's Scooble against a bad team. Have to win the game today.
I agree. It's a must win.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
And should win.
Yep. Well, that's why we had the debate, like, would you be better off using Scooble against Baltimore, whether you move them up right, or move them back? The AJ, clearly, their thing is we don't want to apply any pressure. We don't want to. It's almost like... Yeah. We know the standings, but just don't.
He's comfortable with this, you know, extra day of rest.
And, it's hard to argue with a guy who's 20-9 in the last 9 with duct tape and glue, figuring it out, smoking. Some kind of wizardry is at play here. It doesn't
make
sense.
It's hard to argue the success that the entire staff has had.
And some of that has to be the psychology of how they're doing this. As frustrating as it is as a fan going, come on, make this other move, do this other thing, find a way to position yourself.
Yeah,
but they are within 3 games. Texter says we've been good since Javi Baez has been out. John, I'll put a number on it, 13-5. That'll play.
Yep.
It's part of that Trey Sweeney's been playing, and he hit that home run yesterday. Why don't the Tigers get more love? It's because Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani aren't in Detroit. John, in Lake Orion.
Sure, they don't have your top 5 or 10 Major League Baseball player, but I would argue Scooble, I mean, even though he's not, you're talking about everyday guys versus, a pitcher in a rotation.
It says, not only did we sell at the deadline, let's not forget, they're not even playing their highest paid player. Granted, it's probably a good thing, but it's still worth noting. John, their effective payroll, if you take out Javi Baez, it's like $48 million right now. They have like a $50 million payroll with a 2.5-man rotation. It's a bunch of young guys who don't have a ton of major league at bats, and they're winning. And it's why you said earlier today,
AJ should get some love for manager of the year for how he's handled the lineup, how he's handled the rotation, how he's handled sending players down, bringing them back up. I mean, the whole just psychology of what he's been able to do with his team.
Yeah, pushing the right buttons. The things that they've dealt with this year, first of all, going all the way back, they didn't add any bats of significance. They maintained that Javi Baez would be on this roster. That's a bad foot to start off on. Tort goes in the tank. Carpenter gets hurt. You sell at the deadline. And you duct tape and glue at the end of the year. And here they are within 3 games. I would argue, while AJ won't win manager of the year, even if they make the playoffs, if they get in, no one will have managed a baseball team this season better than AJ
no
Hinch.
No, it's not even close.
What else we got? 248-539-9797. It says 5.5 games behind Baltimore. Play them 6 times. Sweep them and you're in.
Well, that is one route.
Sure. Probably the least likely route, but there you go. And Don in Oxford says, with the Tigers finally in a playoff race, the Lions are filling the city with hope. Michigan's playing terribly. What a great time of year. I'm sure you can assume.
Aren't they? Well, they're not. What did that texter say? 5.5 behind Baltimore?
That's
they're
what the
actually
said.
7.5. Because Baltimore's up 4.5, and the Tigers are down 3.
Don't let math get in the way of a good story.
I know.
Okay, he made a Michigan crack. Sherrone Moore signed the contract. We had that on our show yesterday. Michigan released a statement later in the day. The 5-year deal is official. John, your thoughts?
Oh, glad it's done. Glad that you can remove one distraction, even though it's probably not a distraction for the players. But for Sherrone, for any length of time he had to spend on the phone with his agent, with Ward, with administration, that's all been removed. Now he can comfortably focus on the bigger tasks at hand, and that's figuring out how to win games against top 10 opponents.
You want stability for your program.
Sure.
And the idea is, whether it was true or not, you have this NCAA thing looming and a coach whose contract isn't ironclad, right? It's just like a MOA, like a memorandum of understanding, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Now you have a contract, a real contract.
This is what we're paying you every year. This is
the buyouts.
This is your out. This is our out. All of those things are finally in writing and inked.
It's stability. And for a season where they're, again, we've talked about it, not going to be as good as they were last year. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to probably lose 4 games this year. You want, when you go on the recruiting trail, when there's speculation about your program, some level of stability. And I think that's what the contract offers.
Yeah. And it's great. And now, again, you got that stability. It's going to help with recruiting. It's going to help with all of those different things, which is an ever ongoing process. And it's also the transfer portal.
Always comes back to that.
Yeah.
Going to. Speaking of ever changing and ever expanding college football, we have some reports that at 9 o'clock this morning, the Pac-12 is set to expand the Conference of Champions. Not dead yet. Resurrecting that conference behind Oregon State and Washington State, the reported additions are set to be Colorado State, Boise State, San Diego State, and Fresno State for the 2026 season. That's expected to be announced next hour. John, they'll still need 2 more teams to get to a conference minimum. You got a couple teams to fill in the blanks?
Yeah, I think they still go to the Mountain West. They're taking all of the, the biggest markets, the biggest brands in the Mountain West. And then you would look at, do they go Utah State, Wyoming, teams that have, have had some football success.
What about if you're going markets, San Jose State?
Yeah, possibly. UNLV.
Right. UNLV, yeah.
They do have some options, and it'll be interesting to see because it's no matter what happens, they are going to keep the Pac-12 brand. It's never going to look like the Pac-12 once was.
Right.
And I don't think you're not going to call them a part of, they're not going to be back in the Power 5.
No. There were 2 ways this could go. Washington State and Oregon State could join the Mountain West. That branding is a lot weaker than if you take,
Pac-12.
Yeah. 4 to 6 teams from the Mountain West and say, we're going to use the logo, the imagery that,
Yeah. And the whole thing about the Mountain West too was like Boise State, they've been a headliner in that conference for decades.
Yeah.
And they wanted a bigger share. Hey, we're carrying the heavy load. We're providing all of these finances for you. So we want more in return. And, no conference I don't think is ever going to do that. So the only avenue for them was, well, let's find a new conference. Oh, there happens to be one that has no teams. And 2 that we could probably compete with.
Sure. So they'll have 6. They'll need to get to 8.
The 6, they'll need to get to 8. And I think they will. I don't think nobody's going to leave any of the Power 4 to take a step back, even if they don't see a path to more, success on the field or on the court, whatever the playing surface might be, because it's all about money. They're never going to get as much money in the Pac-12 as they will in any of these other conferences, even if they're getting their brains beat in.
Right, because there's a reason teams like Arizona and Arizona State left. They're not going to then about face and go back to the Pac-12. Same deal, you know, up and down that conference. Utah geographically makes more sense with some of the teams we're talking about. But they may win the Pac, they may win the Big 12 this season,
right,
be the top of that conference and say, why the hell do we go somewhere else with less TV revenue,
right,
less prestige?
Yeah, that
makes it harder for us to get in.
Lunacy.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. So they are going to have to just canvas the carcass of the Mountain West and get what they get. And if you're not in that, you're kind of...
I think the teams that you could... I mean, one of the teams you could probably leave out would be Hawaii. I don't think that's a... That's probably not a ticket that they want to pick up.
Travel.
To pay. Yeah, travel, all of the expenses of always going over, you know, overseas.
To the island.
Does that count as overseas?
Does Hawaii...
Even though it's U.S.?
Make it a poll question. No. I think they
Air Force might be a team that they would look at.
Yeah, or they end up back independent. Like Hawaii may end up independent and all this if you don't get picked for the new Pac-12. You don't have a conference.
Tough for Hawaii to be independent.
Make your own schedule with yeah.
That's a lot of trial. I mean, it's just, yeah. The benefit for them is obviously they have a built-in schedule.
Yeah. All right, we got Filar's update coming up next. We will get to Dear John, some big questions and one